Welcome to a live recording of the HSP podcast. I'm Julie Bieland, and I'm here with Willow McIntosh. Hey, Willow.
Hi, Julie. Great to be here.
Yay. Yeah, we have fun talking before we even start recording. I like that part. We're here with the beautiful and amazing Sensitive Empowerment community. I'm just so happy to be joined by you, and we really love being in your energy. I wanted to make a quick announcement about the community. We have a new group inside the community called Spiral Up, and it's about overcoming depression, healing, belonging, and thriving. And it is already, we just started this group. Gracie King is running it, and she is incredible, and it's already shaping up to be something amazing, a really supportive, sort of sacred space to talk about depression, to support each other. It's just incredible. So I wanted to let everybody know that that's a new group inside of our community. And if that's something that's been a part of your experience, we hope you'll come join us. So today's topic, Willow, is your pick, is called How to Manage Low Energy, Negative Thoughts, and Overprocessing as HSPs. So take it away, Willow.
Hey, thank you, Julie. Thank you. Yes, so this is an area that I felt will be quite beneficial for us to look at. It's an area that has been a big part of my own development. And a part of the reason for that is because for the reason that we all share as HSPs, that the depth of processing is one of the abilities that we have, and that's something that can serve us, and it can also turn against us, or we can turn it in on ourselves if we allow our thoughts and our minds to overprocess, for us to fall into self-judgment and criticism, especially when our energy gets low. And how we can work with negative thoughts and what kind of tools and techniques we can utilize to help in this area. And one of the reasons I'm really passionate about this is because I have a really, really creative mind. My mind is incredibly busy, and I'm processing. I'm really curious about the world around me. And when that's working for me and I'm in a positive frame of mind, then it's amazing. And when my energy's low, it's, over the years, it's been really challenging for me to handle that. And so I've learned many techniques that I now utilize, and I've come to realize that much of the anxiety and the stress that causes is just not necessary. There's ways around that. So I'm looking forward to us diving into that today and to share some ideas. And I'd love to hear, of course, tools and techniques you have, Julie. How does that, tell me a little bit about how that works for you, Julie, or how your experience of that.
Yeah, this is such a great topic. I know that this is something a lot of us experience. I was thinking about this the other day, about how we actually talked about this a little bit in the community just a couple of days ago, about how, like, when our energy is low, it's like my old inner child messages come in, like the feelings of not being good enough. Some of those feelings start kind of creeping in when my energy is low, and it's like the negative thoughts start to take over more. It's a really interesting thing. It's part of when I was doing so much of my inner work. It started to make me realize how incredibly important it was for me to really be on top of my balance, like my life balance and my self-care that works for me. Otherwise, I would go into those places and it would surprise me sometimes, because I'd think like, oh, I thought those messages were behind me. And it was almost like they would take over. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely right. And raising the piece around the inner child, this is a really interesting area to begin with. And there's a difference, obviously, between our inner child in terms of listening to the needs of our inner child, and then also the patterns and the conditioning that we developed as children to protect and look after ourselves, which we bring into our adult life. And it's when those programs and patterns run, which are not serving us. And that That is what I have found to be, it can be really painful to relive constantly those ongoing patterns of thinking, especially around not being good enough or the areas of self-judgment and lack of self-trust and self-doubt, those areas that tend to arise when we are low in energy, things are not going our way, or we're just experiencing a bad day for some reason, then that's, in my experience, that's when these thoughts happen. That's when, you know, we tend to turn on ourselves and almost blame ourselves for why are we feeling like this. And this is, when this happens, it's so important to recognize that these are not thoughts that are coming from an authentic version of ourselves. These are thoughts that are trying to protect us in one way or another. So as children, we develop these coping mechanisms that served us as children that would protect us, but now they definitely don't work as adults. And we have a choice as to whether we identify with these thoughts and recognize that they're not coming from a place of authenticity. And in that way, we can question and challenge them and subvert them.
Yeah, what a great conversation. And Robbie's already saying totally relates to that. And Lily's sharing that this is so helpful already. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, it's almost like the wounded inner child comes into play. And it's and for me, I was thinking as you were saying that, it's like, what benefit would have that have been in my childhood? I think for me, it was about, it would make my walls, kind of like my heart walls, go up. So if my wall was up, then I, at the time, that's how I thought that I protected myself from the pain that I was experiencing around me. But at the same time, if I stay with my wall up, I'm disconnected and I'm lonely, and I'm really not able to have those deep connections that I need to thrive. So in my life, I had to really learn how to put that wall down in safe situations, and how to practice doing that, and how to take care of myself in those vulnerable moments so that I could connect to others and not stay behind that wall, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good example. It's a really good example. And one of the things that many of us as HSPs struggle with is being misunderstood as children. So if we were told that we're too sensitive, or, you know, why are you reacting in this way? You know, why are you why is the feeling so intense for you around this? You know, there was so much of our inner world was misunderstood. And the problem is that what happens in that is we start to reject ourselves. We start to assume that there's something wrong with us. And those thought patterns continue on. So one of the things that's really interesting here that I've come to realize over the years is that when we are on a path of self-help or self-development, if we are coming from the thinking that there's something wrong that we actually have to change and work on, what happens is much of our inner dialogue is around trying to fix or assuming that something needs to be fixed because it's fundamentally wrong in some way. So it's a hole that we can fall into where it's not, there isn't anything for us to fix. There's nothing wrong with us. We are already perfect in the way that we are. So it's recognizing that when those thoughts happen, it's sometimes because as children, we were in this conversation that there was something wrong because we were oversensitive or what it was feeling. And therefore we think there's something to fix. And that's such an important thing to identify is when that thought process happens. That's not personal development. That's not helping. That's in conflict with ourselves, if that makes sense.
You know, you're talking about something so powerful, because if you think about that, just I want everybody to visualize a child for a moment, our sensitive child experiencing some really intense emotional pain, for example. And if that child is getting the message that something is wrong with the way they're experiencing things, can we imagine that extra 1,000-pound weight that goes on to that already intense feeling? And this is a child. So how are they going to manage that? How are they going to deal with that? That, you know, we're experiencing something so difficult. Other people are not experiencing it in the same way around us. We're getting messages that something's wrong with the way we're experiencing it. Instead of getting the support we need to work through that intense emotion. And to get that kind of message that something is broken within us for experiencing the world so deeply that we need to fix ourselves. Or maybe as adults, we go into places of wanting to numb our experience. This is why I have a theory that if we were to do research on people who are struggling in addiction and also people who have a lot of suicidal ideation, I would guess that we would see a lot of them are people who have this trait. And if anybody's listening who does research, I would love to work with you and do some research around this, because I think we need to get this known. Because if we get it known and we understand it, that's how we develop support for people.
Yes, well said. My goodness me, such important words there. Yes, and you know, it's when we're in the, I think what's really came through there, what you said there, Julie, is that I think what happens when we're children is if we're told there's something wrong, then we feel like we have to change in order to be accepted and to be loved. And that, oh, that's a very, yes. Yeah, right?
Oh my gosh, Willow, yes. That is so true.
Right. And that's a very painful experience as a child, is I've got to behave or be, I've got to be a different person in order to be loved and to be accepted. And as children, that's a very serious thought process, because as children, if we are rejected from the family unit, well, that means, I mean, that's a fate worse than death, or it means, you know, that we're not going to be able to protect and look after ourselves. We're not going to be able to look after our needs. What is that going to mean for us? So coming into adulthood, where we're experiencing ourselves in a normal way, we're experiencing things deeply, and we're going about our day and doing our things. You know, the choice now is to recognize that whatever we're feeling is okay. There's nothing wrong here. It doesn't mean that we have to be a certain way to be accepted and to be loved. Now is the opportunity for us to recognize that the whole of us can be accepted and welcomed into our own arms of self-love, to acknowledge and accept however we're feeling, and learn that learned response of judgment and criticism is not ours. That doesn't belong to us. And it's not something that we need to continue.
Oh my gosh, I have so much to say about all of that. That is so true, Willow. Oh my goodness, so many things I can go with here. What you were saying about we have to change ourselves to be loved. I think so many of us have felt that. I know for myself, I thought I just have to put a smile on my face all the time. And that's what was expected. And that would hide what I was actually truly feeling. And, you know, one of the things, and you talked about this learned response, I think that is so powerful. And one of the things that comes up a lot in our community when people come into the sensitive empowerment community is that people talk about how they feel like they can be authentic. And the reason for that is because they're surrounded by sensitive people who get it. And I think that's important, no matter where you are in the world, that you have sensitive people in your life so that you see that, yeah, we do feel things deeply. Of course, we're impacted by tragedy and really painful things happening. Of course, that's the case. And yes, it is magnified for us. So let's just validate that and normalize that. And that whatever we do feel is okay, because if we are adding in that learned judgment, you know, that we received as children, so many of us, then I mean, life becomes unbearable if we're feeling the intensity of the pain and we think there's something wrong with us that we feel that way. That's when it becomes unbearable. So the whole process of healing in this area is it starts with normalizing and validating that, yes, you are. We are deep feelers. We do feel things intensely. It is part of how we were created. It is part of the reason this trait exists, is we need deep feelers in the world. So we've got to change the stigma around that when you feel something deeply, that makes sense because you're a highly sensitive person. And it's okay. And let's, instead of judging ourselves, let's instead support ourselves. And I know so many of us had to do that internal inner child work to change those messages, to learn how to love and support ourselves through this.